Psalm 103 says this: "Praise the Lord, all my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all sin and heals all diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." So how is lockdown for you? How are you getting on? These two questions are asked of me several times a week, and I find myself asking them to others frequently at the moment. Despite some of the media telling us that we're all in this together, what is clear is that during this time of lockdown, we are all experiencing this in very different ways. In the Zoom meetings that we have shared on a Sunday as a church community, I'm very aware that even within our group, this time looks hugely different to everyone. Perhaps you are loving this experience. It's giving you a chance to slow down and to get all those things off your to-do list. If you're a key worker, perhaps this is one of the busiest periods in your life that you have ever experienced, and you are just longing for space and for rest. Perhaps this is a time that is causing you anxiety. It's affecting your mental health, and just getting through the day is a real struggle. Perhaps you're a parent of a young child, and you're having to keep them entertained while also trying to retain your own sanity. Perhaps you live on your own, and so this time of social isolation is a real time of isolation, more than you have ever experienced in your life before. What we all do share is that this is not a normal time. Our lives are very different, and we live in the hope that normality will return. This week, as part of our series on being disciplined disciples, we're looking at gratitude and thankfulness. I would suggest that during this time, it's more important than ever to focus on this habit, on this discipline, to be able to consciously recognise what God has done and is doing for us, for our communities, for our country, and beyond, and to recognise what others are doing for us and to be thankful for them. Something of this habit or discipline has been picked up as a nation in the past few weeks, when on a Thursday evening we step out of our homes to stand in our drives, in our doorways, or just hang out of a window and participate in a public act of thanks for the carers and key workers. Each week I am moved by this act, an act that brings us together as a community, as humanity, as we thank others for what they are doing. If we look at the early church, we see a church that is born from thankfulness. In those early days, the disciples were thankful for what God had done through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. They were thankful for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. We read in Acts that they met in each other's homes and praised God, thanking him for what he had done and what he was doing. They praised God in the temple and out on the street. Luke, who is the author of the book of Acts, presents to us a community, an early Christian community, the early Christian community, as a group of people who had gladness and generosity in their hearts. The early church embodied praise and thanksgiving, which resulted in extravagant generosity, which itself mirrors and is in the heart of the Trinitarian community. This way of living, this way of being thankful, this way of being generous was countercultural to the world they lived in. The Roman world was dominated by power, wealth, and greed. And yet it was this countercultural living out of kingdom values rather than society's values that brought them to a point of persecution. And yet they remained a thankful people. They kept praising God even through those tough times. How easy is it for us to be thankful people in tough times. How easy is it to be a thankful people when we're living in lockdown? I know it's easy for me to say to praise God through the tough times, but it's actually harder to practice that. And so we need to create a habit in doing it. To be disciplined in something is to practice it, to do it repeatedly, day in, day out, even when we don't want to. And that's how we can foster thankfulness, a glad heart in tough times. Back in January, I signed up for the Virgin Active 100-Day Global Challenge. Essentially, it's an app on your phone that encourages teams of people to compete against each other in a step challenge in order to improve health and well-being. Well, I came to the end of my 100 days on Thursday, and little did I know back in January when I signed up for the challenge what the last month of the 100 days would look like. The 100 Day Programme encourages you to go onto your app on your phone every day and log your steps from the previous day. But it also encourages you to log one thing that you are grateful for each day. The lovely thing about the app is that you can scroll through your previous day's gratitudes. And so at the end of the challenge, I've been able to go back and look at all the things I've been grateful for the last 100 days. I have started each day of the challenge logging my steps from the day before and writing or uploading a picture of something that I have been grateful for. It's been a really good way to start the day. Rather than waking up with a mental to-do list, I have woken up and focused on what I have been thankful for. The app is not a Christian program. It's been developed by the Virgin Plus group of gyms. However, Virgin, in designing their app, recognise that our well-being as individuals... However, Virgin, in designing their app, recognise that our well-being as individuals goes beyond that of physical fitness. It's a mental activity as well. And by starting our day with thankfulness, it can change our whole perspective of the day. At Connect at Copper Beach, we have a Bible club on a Friday morning. And one of our members is an African lady who's been with us for a few years. And one thing that we love about Rose is the way in which she prays. She will never start a prayer asking God for something. Before she prays any prayers of petitions, she will always spend significant time praising God, recognising Him for who He is, and then she will spend significant time thanking Him. You never get a short prayer with Rose. When you ask her how her week has been, she will instantly tell you all the good things that God has done for her in her life, for her family and for her friends. She is a refreshing character to be around. She will always lift your mood and put a smile on your face. When she walks into the hub on a Friday morning, usually late, everything stops because we want to greet her. We want to have conversation with her. Her thankful character is infectious and we want a piece of it. Rosita has this discipline of thankfulness deep in the core of her being. She oozes thankfulness and gratitude, and yet for a number of reasons, life is tough for her. When I read Psalm 103 in the week in preparation for this talk, I thought of Rose when the psalmist says, "My inmost being praises his holy name." Thankfulness is in her inmost being, and she's a different person because of it. Also, as I read Psalm 103 this week, I went on to have a look at the next psalm on the page in the Bible, and I noticed that Psalm 104 starts very similarly. Psalm 104 says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, O Lord God, you are very great." And then I went on, Psalm 105, "Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name." Psalm 106, "Praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his love endures forever." Psalm 107, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever." And I could continue. Giving thanks, praising God, is not an optional extra in life. It is to be woven into the very fabric of our life. Praise and thanksgiving is not something you do at the start of a Sunday service at church. It is to be in the whole of life, in our everyday, in our good days and our bad. Just before Easter, our local Church of England parish church put their Easter newsletter through our letterbox at home. And Andrew, the priest at the church, wrote these words in his letter to the parish. This was his Easter greeting to his church in a time of lockdown. Andrew says, "It is important to stress that we are a people of hope because we believe and we have received the God of hope." When I read this, I was reminded of the words from Romans 5:1-5, which says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint us." I love that phrase. I love that promise, that truth, that hope does not disappoint us. As a community of faith, we share in this hope. We share in this Father God of hope. And so we share in our joys as well as our burdens with each other. Let us be a people of thanksgiving, giving thanks to God on the good days when the sun is shining and all is well with the world. But also let us be a people of thanksgiving when times are tough, when things are not going our way. Let us be disciplined disciples, working thankfulness into the daily rhythm of our life, looking beyond our current circumstances, beyond the limitations we have and the limitations we perceive to have. Perhaps a start in doing this would just simply to be asking yourself, what am I thankful for today? I'm going to finish this time that I've got with you this morning by praying a prayer of adoration, which is taken from the Holy Habits teaching material. This is a Methodist prayer, Methodist program, read to you by a Salvationist, and I'm delivering it to a group of people who are probably predominantly Baptist, so I couldn't be any more ecumenical at the end if I tried. But let us pray this prayer of adoration together. Let's pray. Creator God, for your outpouring of generosity, for the breadth and depth of creation, for the awesome vastness of the universe and the invisible glory of subatomic nature, we thank you. For the living creatures that surround us and for the very processes of life itself, we thank you. For our own lives as communities, families and individuals, for the joy of working, resting and sharing together, we thank you. For the mystery of consciousness, for the pleasure of beauty and the exercise of understanding, for all these things we respond with gladness and praise. Saviour God, we rejoice in you as creation rejoices to have you in our midst. We recall John the Baptist in his mother's womb leaping for joy, and the angels singing praises and the shepherds taking up the song. We recall the life-changing thankfulness of those you healed and blessed. We recall the excitement of the crowds and the very stones eager to join your praise. You gave your life upon the cross for all creation, the greatest gift of all, but you were to be restored. Gladness was to break forth, and the tears of sorrow were exchanged with tears of joy. Spirit God, with the disciples, we are sometimes scared or tired, ashamed or mystified, yet you still come. You have come to us as a sign of the love between the Father and the Son, as a generous invitation to join our hearts with theirs. The faith we possess comes alive again, the clouds part and the gladness of salvation blazes forth again. May you bring to us your fruits, and among them may you nurture in us a generous spirit, slow in judgment and generous deeds, sharing with others according to their need, and offering one another in love. Amen.